Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you could trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
It's the job.
Back to the Crab Feast, y'all.
Another Tuesday. Not Crab Feast, where that at? I could not find you on the second one.
I didn't know you started the second one, and then I was like,
I didn't. That was all the same one.
Oh, I was like, I didn't know what was going on.
When you jump back in, I tried to dip down and get it, but I couldn't touch it.
I left it, baby. I left it alone.
Good to touch your pitch, JR.
Good to get touch, Six.
Six.
Yeah, for sickle cell, baby. What's up, Six? What's up, everybody? Great to be here with you. As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncomedy, and all social media. Big thanks to everybody I got to see up in Portland and Tacoma and Wenatchee and Petaluma and Oakland. Had so much fun being out there. Great to see all you guys out there on the road. Thank you so much for coming out. And I am coming back out this weekend, Houston at the Secret Group on the 27th, and Denver at the Bug Theater. Those are going to be great shows. Steve Cantwell is going to be on that 27th show.
That's awesome.
And then in Denver, Jeff Tice is going to be there with me, and David Rodriguez, and Adam Caton Holland. So it's going to be a fantastic show. Those tickets are available at jlarsoncomedy.com. Please check those out. And then back on the East Coast for the final run, starting November 7th, all the way through the 17th. The 7th through the 17th, I'll be all the way out there on the East Coast. So come out to shows. You know the cities. Go to jlarsoncomedy.com and check those out. Sickle Cell.
Ryan Sickler on Instagram and all social media. RyanSickler.com is my website. Super stoked about the Baltimore show coming up here Saturday, November 17th at the Famous. There's only a handful of tickets left, so you better get them if you haven't gotten them right now. It's definitely selling out. And I'm stoked to come home and see family and friends and feasters and get at it and have fun with you guys. Tickets are on my website and on thecrabfeast.com. And I'm excited. My new album is dropping next month, November 20th.
Nice.
Dropping it on a Tuesday. And you'll be able to get it everywhere you can get albums and podcasts and all that good stuff. iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, Laughable. Play it right from our site. It is still March, and it is still Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We will be donating a portion of all our merchandise to Breast Cancer Awareness. There's a couple things left on the Crab Feast site at the merch store. You should definitely jump on that. And FTCF shirts are up.
They'll be up.
Is that the first one, FTCF or Tuesday?
We can do either or. FTCF's fine by me.
FTCF going up on the site.
Okay.
Subscribe. Follow the Crab Feast on Facebook and Twitter for all the final info. And we got a great sponsor back here again this week, guys. Blue Chew. If you were looking to last longer and go a few extra rounds, yeah, I'm talking about bedroom performance here. Get to BlueChew.com. BlueChew.com has the first ever chewable that brings your performance to another level. Check this out. They've got the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so they work. And since they're chewable, they'll work faster than a pill. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And this stuff is cheaper than those other two, so it's a no-brainer. Plus, you don't need to go to the doctor's office or spend time awkwardly waiting in the pharmacy line because Blue Chew ships straight to your door in discreet packaging. Here's a great deal for you guys. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first order free when you use the promo code CRABFEAST. That's promo code CRABFEAST. You just pay the $5 shipping. That is Blue Chew, BLUEChew.com. Promo code Crab Feast.
No shipping necessary for this episode. We're bringing it direct to you. We are in the final 10. We're excited about this next guest. You asked for her. She's drinking Keystone. We love having her here. Ladies and gentlemen, Kara Kilgore! Kara Kilgore! Welcome back to the Crab Feast, girl.
Crab Feast, girl.
Thank you so, so much.
Keystone!
Chug for myself.
Chug?
I'm chanting chug for myself.
What a pleasure to have you here with
guys,
us.
Guys, thank you for... it's such an honor to be on one of the final Crab Feasts.
That's so nice.
Honor to have you here.
That's right. We wanted you, but overwhelmingly, you were one of the many last requests, but yours rose to the top.
We had
we're fortunate to get you here.
Thank you.
Ryan and I had a list, but we put it out to the fans, and like every single like it was just like... Everyone that's in the final 10 was mentioned multiple times. And we were like, oh, of course, we knew that. We knew that. You know what I mean?
I thought I got it because of that exchange that we had on Twitter that day where me and Gareth Reynolds made a funny joke about carpooling. I'm like, I think I might have got myself in.
You're in. We hit Gary up, too. Gary's, I mean, we'll just give a little spoiler here, I guess.
Gary's on the way?
Maybe. How about that?
Mm. Yeah. I mean, there were a couple guests we didn't agree on. That was one of them. I was like... Not a huge fan. Rye wanted him.
He's
there
kind of a prick.
There were two people that said it. It's more than one, so we brought him on. He's coming. But it's always a pleasure to have you here. Please, before we get into anything, would you plug whatever you'd like?
Let's see. I'm on Twitter at Karen Kilgariff, and I have a podcast called Do You Need a Ride with Chris Fairbanks, where we drive around usually with other comedians, but sometimes just with ourselves. And then I have another podcast called My Favorite Murder with Georgia Hardstark.
Yeah.
We talk about murder.
Murder.
Murder, the thing everyone wants to talk about.
God, everybody wants to do it, but no one's got the balls.
No one's got
no one. There's prisons filled with people who've got the balls. I mean,
it's a good point.
I just want to ask before, because I do want to get into what we were talking about before we were recording, but just what percentage, if you know, do people get away with murder?
You know, the first number that came to my mind was 30.
30%?
But I don't know if that's the truth.
I mean, how would anyone ever know if someone like got away with murder? They're never gonna. It's not like they're telling a bunch of people, so they're not. It's not gonna be proven. No one's gonna. It's not like you know somebody right now that's committed murder, and then you're just sitting around them. You know what I mean?
But I think it's the
bring up a valid point.
The science, though, these days is so you can't. Everybody leaves evidence around.
Do they do it like that? Like a magic trick, Karen?
You know, if you push your fingers together the way I'm doing right now.
Like you're rolling a nickel between your fingers.
Like you're rolling two joints at one time. You're going to leave DNA in cells. So I think it's just less and less likely these days.
Yeah.
Like it used, you know, back in the 50s when they'd be like, okay, now before we get the police in here, let's get some reporters and let's get some photographers. They used to have people just walking through crime scenes constantly. Now it's
totally
they lock it down.
Do you have are you more interested in like serial killers or do you just like single isolated incidents?
Yeah. No. Serial killers have always interested me. I'm not interested like in the mafia, like hitmen
sure,
is not interesting to me. It's not you're doing it for money and you're a sociopath. That's the end of the story. And then I think like we've also gotten into this thing for live shows. It's much more fun to do like old stories. So nobody has to feel sad or sensitive if it happened in 1823. So we're getting kind of into historical murders now that are really crazy and funny or like disasters. We just did some live shows in Medford, Massachusetts.
Yeah. Right? I grew up the town over.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I saw your name cause I was like looking for venues back there. What was the name of the theater?
I'm not going to be able to say it.
Going there on a Sunday night, too.
It's a great theater. I should find it because they were so nice. It was the best staff, the coolest experience. And the audience was like, oh, my God. They listened to it. Well, I was ready for like a Boston audience. It's like, fuck you, whatever. Randomly, for no reason. They were like pin drop quiet and then got everything the second. Any joke.
Yeah.
You know, they were just right there for everything.
Yeah, that's awesome.
They were so great. So Medford. I did the, what's that?
There's no D in Medford.
Method. The pronunciations are very difficult in Massachusetts as a whole, and then Boston specifically.
Yeah, there's different, you know, same with Baltimore. There's like, you know, regional stuff.
It's regional.
We talk completely normal.
It's but like the first time we were in Boston, we said Worcester. Worcester or something. Worcester.
Yeah, Worcester.
Worcester, yeah.
Worcester.
And we got, I mean, I'm probably still getting tweets about
people
it.
People say Gloucester for Gloucester,
yes,
you know.
Yeah.
And I grew up in Stoneham, but people will say Stoneham. They're like, oh, Stoneham. I'm like, no, it's Stoneham.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to know. Well, we actually started the thing called Spell It Like You Say It, because we were just like, you know what? We're not fucking from here,
right.
And we don't know. So how about you spell it like you say it? Just as a thing, we could just be tweaking these city names.
Spell it like you say it, baby! That sounds like some, guys like look across the street like, hey! Spell it like you say it, baby!
Spell it like you say it!
Oh, look at you, girl! Spelling it like you say it! That's awesome.
Yeah.
I like that.
I think it's something, it used to be an old high school, that theater.
Oh, really?
It's called like the...
That's cool.
The Star Celebrity Theater, maybe? Something like that?
I don't know, but
shit.
I love that you're guessing.
Shit. We had 4 shows in 3 days, so it was a fast
All team. There?
No, 2 there, 1 in Brooklyn at the King's Theater, 1 at the Beacon in New York City.
Wow, good
yeah,
for
yeah.
you.
Yeah, yeah.
Good for you.
It was crazy.
God damn it.
God damn it, it was
God
crazy.
God damn, that's great.
That's a long way from Petaluma, California.
It sure is.
We were just at the festival. We were talking before we recorded. We were just up there. It was a great festival, Petaluma Festival. Hopefully they have it again next year, but you were definitely discussed up there. Your hometown hero.
I should have gone. The guy sent me an email. I didn't respond to it. And then I got lots of other comedians going, hey, you should... Hey, the guy asked me.
Yeah.
And
they were
I
like,
felt terrible.
There was a tour of your home and your elementary school. I went on it. It was $6. It's pretty fucking good.
My dad,
like, unfortunately, she got her keystone right here.
My dad's sitting there drinking a Budweiser in the front room. Hey, get out.
Like, here's where that good
you
story
see baby
happened
pictures?
Right here. Her baby pictures he's showing. He's
eight
charging
bucks.
A buck.
That's right.
$8.
Look
That's
it.
More than the whole admission. I don't give a shit.
You know what's funny is like, so when we had you on before, you talked, I had visuals of what I thought your house looked like, you know,
yeah.
because of like, that's just, you know, all of our brains do that when we hear something.
Yeah.
And then it didn't click till just before off mic. You were saying, oh yeah, I'm from Petaluma. And I was just like, holy shit, this makes complete sense because I've been up there 1, 2, 3, 4, like 6 times, 7 times in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That whole area. I've been to, and every time I go up, I check out new little spots, you know?
It's the best. Like, the area we were talking about before is like West Marin, West
yeah.
Petaluma, out to the coast. And it is completely, I think.
I drove through Petaluma this morning.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That recently?
This morning. I drove from Lagunitas. I was in Lagunitas. My buddies walked down the street. We got coffee this morning.
You're being serious.
100%.
Is he lying?
Nah. I don't know if he's lying or not, but since we've been talking, I've just been hashtagging how many times you say Lagunitas, and we're fine.
Perfect.
That's the place.
Yeah. I love how you say it. You hit it like those weathermen do that when they fucking
it's
hit
It's going to be 75 and sunny in Lagunitas.
Lagunitas.
You know what? This is what I love about... I mean, I love that area so much. You know what I bought at my... when I went for coffee this morning, I walked there in Lagunitas. I bought...
Yeah, he does have a little Spanish accent when he says it.
6 times he said it. We've been together.
I bought a coffee, but guess what else I left the place that they sell coffee with? You know the area. Think of like what possibly... What else they might be selling in this
A
thing.
Bale of alfalfa.
No,
wait, that's what I was gonna go for that thing too. I was gonna say like a sapling, like a fucking sapling for an avocado tree.
No, that would be nice.
How about free range eggs?
Nope.
Okay,
it's a little different, I guess. I left with 4 records. I bought 4 records.
Oh,
at a coffee shop.
That's
tight.
I bought a Dorothy Thorpe bowl. I don't know if you're familiar. She was a designer in the
1950s. If you're not familiar with it, you're not gonna believe this shit, right?
Dorothy.
She brought her bowls.
Get your bowl out here, girl.
Bring that silver brush, girl. She's known for the rim of her glass. Everything was a silver rim across it.
Oh, so that's like, Dorothy?
I know.
If you ever watched Mad Men, you saw Dorothy Thorpe glasses.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I bought a Dorothy Thorpe bowl, 4 LPs.
Her bowl has the thing, too?
Yeah. Anything that she ever did. That was her thing, you know, glass with
a rim.
Yeah. And then I bought
a rim shit.
Vintage French keychain for my daughter, like a little gift for her, and a little... vintage oil truck for my son.
All in a coffee shop.
That it's was like a Lagunitas? Store
in Lagunitas.
All of it was in there.
Everything.
Because my cousin Cheryl sells her candles in Lagunitas.
Well, not according to her. Hold on 1 second. Cheryl! Bring your beeswax, baby.
Bring your beeswax.
Bring your beeswax in here.
And my sister lives basically around the corner
on Sir
from
Francis
there.
Drake?
No, in... No, but down in Corona, basically on the cross street.
Okay. Corona.
I got my car. We did that. And then I got my rental, drove down, made the left that drives you all the way through the hills, went through Petaluma, and then right to Santa Rosa. I flew out of Santa Rosa.
Oh, nice.
Oh, not out of San Francisco
no.
or Oakland.
So nice flying out of there.
It's so much so better, easy. But it's a little richy rich. Like, those flights are not cheap.
You can, I go one way, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you can go. Woo. So it wasn't terrible. Stop. And if you
are you hashtagging that one?
Stop it.
If you take your commute time delay, that's going to be at SFO, and then ticket against rental and all that, it's like a wash for me. And I get to be out in Lagunitas.
We're at 8 right now. Officially, at 8. I think 5 on the air.
You really spiced the middle previous. Of that one up too.
It was just something I started counting. Yeah, you better dance it up as we go along.
But I told Karen, so Dominic Delbeni, who runs Petaluma, that's who I did my show with at the gin distillery on Saturday night. He was like, "You got to go to this Italian joint like before the show because I needed time." And now I can't. What was the name of it?
Volpe's Restaurant.
Volpe's. Yeah, he goes. Yeah, there's a little bar in the back. And then someone else was there who's from Petaluma was like, "Oh God, you like accordion playing?" I go, "What do you mean?" They're like, "Oh, accordion's going to be played." I was like, I get there, no accordion. And I sit down.
That means John Volpe was off for the night. That's the guy.
Well, he showed up.
Oh, okay.
He just wasn't there yet.
He wasn't there yet because like, he was right here.
John Volpe!
Accordion your ass here, motherfucker. Play some of that Geppetto shit.
So... I sit down, Red Sox game's on, and this like sassy older bartender comes over. She's like, "Yeah." And I go, "Hey, how you doing?" She goes, "Yeah, yeah, good." And I go, "Can I eat here?" She goes, No, you can sit at that table, but you're going to have to get a waitress in here. No one's coming in here." And I was like, Jesus, I didn't want to sit at this. They have like that one big table there.
Right.
So I go,
"You didn't want to do community style."
I didn't mind, but I kind of want to sit and watch the game, and I wanted to write, you know? So yep. I didn't want to sit that table. I love community style, but I'm not drinking. And so I'm just like, I go, "Can I just get a, you have like espressos or anything?" She's like, no. Like,
aggressive nose.
"Black coffee? You want black coffee?" And I go, "Okay." I go, what about dessert? Can I get dessert at the bar?" She's like, "Yeah, you can get dessert. I don't have a menu, though. And I go, that's okay. Can you tell me what's on?" She goes, "Hold on." She goes, "I do have a menu." And then comes back with a menu. I get a dessert and the worst coffee I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
And after like I finished the dessert, the plate sat there for a solid 20 minutes. And then mm-hmm. she came over to get it. I'm like, "That was unbelievable." I go, "Have you ever had that apple crisp?" She's like, "No." I'm like, "It's so soft and great." And she's like, "Oh, yeah?" I go, "Yeah." She's like, "You know what I've been doing lately?" And all of a sudden she opened up and yes. then she was like my girl.
That's how we are. The women of Petaluma, you have to wear us down. We're going to push you off. You have to really prove it. That you're going to be there, you're going to pay that bill. But
what if I had opened with like a 18-pack of Keystone?
I know, you would have gotten kicked out. Keystone doesn't get you anywhere in life.
In life.
But that town is kind of like gotten fancy, say, in the last 15, 20 years.
Yeah, like everything up there.
The dot-com boom, yeah. So everybody in the city was like, "I have kids, I want to live somewhere nice." And then Petaluma is just far enough away where it does feel country.
It's there, Valencia.
What?
It's LA's Valencia.
It is.
But it's also, from here, dude.
Like, as far as like everything out there, like, you know, like I was saying, Bolinas, Inverness, Lagunitas.
Thank you.
Point Reyes Station. Nice. It's like a city.
He's saying Lagunitas like it's a city, but it's a brewery.
Oh, it is?
No, it's a town, too.
Oh, you mean out in West Marin?
Yeah.
Got it.
That's my friend lives, like, you know, you go, I don't know, Fairfax, Monroe, or what? I forget what the next one, and then it's Lagunitas
there it is.
Before you get out to...
There's a Lagunitas brewery as well?
Yes.
But it's not in Lagunitas?
No.
It's in Petaluma.
It's in Petaluma, wow. And it's made Petaluma famous because that beer now is in every bar everywhere. Like, it's a well-known beer.
They sold that brewery. Do you know how much they sold that brewery for?
Mm-hmm.
$1 billion.
For real?
Yes.
With a B.
Yes, with a B.
Yeah.
Dude, it's the most popular IPA in the world. Yeah. Like Lagunitas.
I mean, the.
You better keep it up because you're at 11. You better keep on going.
I mean, I love beer, but as far as cerveza goes, I would say.
Okay, so this whole time I thought you were talking about the. I thought you were like, I was in at Lagunitas. I'm like, well.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
I just thought you meant you were shopping in their gift shop.
No, no. Oh my God, no wonder why you're thinking
that. Yeah.
No, there was like down the street from my buddy on St. Francis Drake, there's a little old gas station that this guy turned into a coffee shop. And it's more of a thrift store than it is a coffee shop.
Yeah.
With all those little weird things. This dude's hands, like I like had to like put money in his hand, were monster and cat. So calloused.
Yeah.
I mean, the workingest hands you've ever seen in your life. There's no heat in this building. And in the morning out there in Lagunitas, it's like 38 degrees. You know what I mean? And this dude, and I hear him talking with his daughter. His daughter was working there, and she's in college. And she's like, oh, I have pre-social influization today, like something like that class. She goes, should I smoke weed before it or after it?
And she goes, asking her that.
Dad. Well, there was a little scale that was for sale, and then he had this big, giant, like, branch of weed on it, like, on the scale. Like, and he goes, that's just decoration. Anyway, he was like, after. I think we should smoke it after.
They're all old hippies.
Big time.
And they're either old hippies that got rich, or they're old hippies that are still hippies, mm-hmm. like, holding on to the faith. But in Petaluma, it got very kind of... a little fancy, but it's still all the townies basically running it. And so you with your computer and your fucking demands, I'm sure she was just like, another one of these assholes.
Yeah.
So she had to make you run the gauntlet before she was going to actually be nice to you because you know she's been burnt by some .com asshole that's come up there and been like, yeah, actually,
that's how she saw you.
And any bartender, I know because I did it for so long, you sit down and you don't order a drink, they immediately don't like you.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You're automatically suspect.
But I do have my favorite story about that restaurant because Volpe's. So in that town, everybody goes off to college when they're 18, or you go to the JC, mm-hmm. but the town Juco. Kind of
in Santa Rosa, right?
Yep. But there's a Petaluma branch now.
Is there a Lagunitas Junior College?
There should be. They just teach you how to make that beer.
Amen.
That would be a lucrative 2-year program.
Sure would.
Get in on this IPA shit. So basically everybody comes home for Christmas. And so, all those bars, like you start at Volpe's, that's the parents' bar. So like you'll eat dinner with your parents at Volpe's, you'll go back and have one drink with your parents and their friends. They stay for the accordion music and then you go to McNear's or you go to whatever bars they have there now.
I love it.
It's been so long. So there was a Christmas where me and my sister, so we went to the Catholic school in that town, and then there's two other public high schools, Petaluma High and Casa Grande. And one's on the west side and one's on the east side.
Casa Grande?
The big house.
The big house.
For you,
yeah.
Ryan.
Thank you. I knew that one.
Michigan plays there.
I got a D in Spanish. I got that one.
So you knew. So we went there, and I think we had just eaten with our parents, and we were sitting there waiting for our friends to show up. And so the bar part...
How old are you? Is this recent?
No, this was like, I think I was probably 24 or so. It's a small enough town where you knew the people at the other schools in your class because you would like play softball with them or you're in Girl Scouts with them or whatever.
Or you went to middle school with them.
And then everyone went off to their different. So everyone was tracking everybody and like the whole goal was to be popular enough so that the kids at the other school knew who you were. So like if there was some kind of a parking lot meetup, it would be like making it in the who's who. stick with your own kind. So we knew all these people, but not like to super interact with them. But there were some girls that like I was friends with when we played softball together, and then they went to Petaluma High, became super popular, and then were like assholes. And so you're always like, fucking girl. So my sister and I are sitting in Volpe's waiting for our wave of people to come so we can go to the young people bar.
You're in the back bar.
We're in that middle section.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because the back bar was packed. Damn. with mostly with adults and like old
and accordion, you know, lovers.
Parents and accordion
lovers.
Let's not exclude them.
Italians.
Let's not exclude that guy.
Let's not forget the work of John Volpe. So, and it was Christmas time. So my sister gets up and she goes, I have to go to the bathroom really quick and then tell Adrian that I blah, blah, blah. Whoever was meeting us, you know, we had this plan. So I had to sit there and wait to make sure no one went into that bar. And we were like, we're not staying here. We're going to the other bar. So my sister's gone. These four girls who are the most popular girls at Petaluma High School come in, walk by, kind of look down, don't say hi, you know, whatever, and go into the bar. And kind of, they're already drunk, I can tell. So they go in and they grab four stools along that bar. So you know how small it is. It's like this bar is like maybe two lengths of this room, but like it's really narrow. You know, it's like this little. So they kind of slide in and sit at the bar. Like, we're here now. We're here too. And John Volpe starts playing some Christmas song on the accordion. And they're sitting like this and they've tucked their feet behind the lower bar stool rung.
Yeah.
And then they put their drunken arms around each other's shoulders like this. And they start swaying back and forth to this accordion song. And as I watch them, one of them tips forward too far and they take the other three down and all three of them go down with their feet stuck behind the bar.
Oh, shit.
They're like one with the bar stool.
They might as well have handcuffs around their ankles. Yeah.
Totally.
And they all four go down in the bar where all the adults drink. And so all the adults just turn around with their like Manhattans in their hand. They're just like, what the fuck are you four doing? And they like fell face first, had to get up and were kind of trying to laugh, but it was one of the funniest things. And they get up, they're all embarrassed.
John Volpe's karma.
Hit him with a vulture.
That's what they call him.
The vulture.
There goes Volpe the vulture, man.
But
give him some silent night, vulture.
It was like probably the most embarrassing thing that happened to the four of them. Oh. And I was the only one who saw it. They like sneak out like so embarrassed, and then my sister comes out of the bathroom and I was like,
she missed
I can't
everything.
Even yeah. begin to explain what just happened in the length of time that you were. I was like, what were you doing in there? You missed the best thing. It was like the popular bitches all just took, very symbolically, took each other down on those bar stools. It was my favorite.
That is great.
You know, it's funny that you say it's a tiny bar, because when I was sitting there, every single person that came in, like tons of people, it never got packed. Maybe it got packed. I mean, I was also there like, you know, till 7:15, 7:30.
Right.
Every single person that came in for a drink, they were like, hey, Michelle. And she's like, how are you? You just having one or what are you doing? Like, yeah, I'm just going to have a quick one. Me and Margaret heading out, you know, we're going to get sushi or whatever. It was like every single person knew her.
Yes.
And I think it's only cash back there. I didn't think for a second I was going to pull out a credit card. I saw the cash register she was working with, like she'd like hit it every time. I was like, I'm not asking.
It's one of those ones across the toppers.
From the side, the drawer filed down.
I was like, I'm just paying cash.
And they're also all family. So like the Volpe family runs it. And then there's like daughters and daughters-in-law that work there.
Yeah.
But it's all family. So everybody knows each other and, you know, it was a small town.
Yeah, it was a super cool spot. Did you guys ever go? So when you went drinking, did you ever like go over to like Marshall and drink over there or drink in Inverness or like where would you guys go?
We wouldn't go. Marin was like, there really was the dividing line in the 80s because Marin was super rich. And that was still when Petaluma was like, it's a cow town. So we were all like FFA style, like embarrassed. And then Marin was like, I got my own Porsche when I was 16.
Oh, okay.
So we didn't normally mix with them. But Tamales, which is another
Tamales
city
Bay.
On the way out, they were our high school rivals because their school was as small as our school.
What was your mascot?
We were the St. Vincent Mustangs.
St. Vincent Mustangs. What were they?
I don't remember.
You don't remember your rivals?
The Tamales. It might have been something like the Tide or Tamales.
They're just running out of shit.
Who knows?
I don't know, man.
Tide.
If I get something to do with the ocean.
There's water right there.
I can't remember. I don't know. But we would drive out there and sometimes drink like at their school parking lot or whatever, which is so dangerous. Those highways on the way out there, it's like just two lane, pitch black. There's no lights. There's no street lights or anything. You're in the middle of the country. It's crazy.
We did something crazy one time. The same guy that started the food fight I've told on this podcast, Mark Penn, had this idea. We were in Carroll County. We were out of school. And Baltimore County still had like three more days to go. And we knew some people that went to this high school, Franklin High. It's probably, I don't know, 20, 25 minutes from us, but different county, different district, different everything. So we just decided, I don't know why. I mean, I feel like today you'd be arrested and, you know, but we just walked onto campus and we just started walking through their hallways and just checking out the school, you know, no harm or anything, just looking and see. And then, of course, some teachers like, who the fuck are you for? You know,
isn't it amazing? They know every single kid in that school.
Yes.
And they called the principal, and that's when we all split up. And one friend idiot was on crutches, so he got caught.
And
He really was. And then he talked, so we all got caught in the principal's office. And we just were honest. We're like, this is where we go. I didn't give him a real name. I gave him a fake name. And I said, you know,
Bobby Rickler.
I was like, I'm Cyan Rickler. Make it real hard to figure out who I really am. But yeah, and they let us go. But the guy was like, but I feel like today, I wouldn't even try that today. I feel like today you'd probably get shot or
you'd
something.
You'd get shot.
Yeah, you'd probably tasered or some shit like that hard.
Ari Shaffir and I did his podcast on the grounds of Venice High, like out in like, there's like a big grassy area.
Mm-hmm.
And like we just sat out there and then school got out. And security, like two security guys came over and they're like, hey, what are you guys doing? And we're like, oh, we're just recording a podcast because it was all about school. And they're like, yeah, you can't be out here like during school hours. You can come back. It's an open campus at like after 3:30. And we're like, all right. They were super nice to us.
Yeah.
And we came back.
Tell her what the kids did when they walked by. Some recognized Ari.
Some recognized Ari. So, like, he got pictures taken. All this stuff. We were doing an episode about school, right? So, he got recognized. We took a picture. We got kicked off the campus. Then we went down and softball tryouts were happening. So, we sat there for a while and talked to a dad about, like, what it's like having your kid going through softball tryouts. And is it competitive and what kind of team they're looking for. Then we continued and walked around the school. And we caught football practice on the backside. And the quarterback of the football team walked by and we're like, what's up, man? And he was like, hey. And he's not anybody that I know of, but JP Lossman was the quarterback at Venice High and he played for the Buffalo Bills after going to Tulane. So like to be the quarterback at Venice High, that's got to have some cred. Then we went back around the school when it was after 3:30 and we sat somewhere. And at like 4 o'clock, another bell went off, which I think was the detention bell.
Yeah.
And these kids came out and they threw a rock and almost hit Ari.
Why are they doing an episode about today's school and shit?
He got bullied. He got bullied this many years later.
But also, he got bullied in the most kind of vicious Gaza Strip way that you could. Like someone just hucking a rock at you.
Yeah.
Just like, I don't like you from afar. That's
amazing.
Hilarious.
Yeah, from the kids who got out of detention.
That's, yeah, of course.
God bless them.
Amazing.
I thought when you first said that, I thought that Ari chose to do that at that high school so he would get recognized like Sally Field and Soap Dish at the mall, which just for a little boost in the arm.
Boost. Did you do any theater in high school?
We didn't have theater in my school until I was a senior. So yeah, I did it then, but it was like very new. Like, you know, we did Shirley Jackson's The Lottery. It was real rickety.
Yeah. I mean, I think all high school productions are rickety.
That's what I kind of wanted to do. And I did speech. I did humorous interpretation and dramatic interpretation in speech because that was like the closest you could get. But then I did it when we actually had it.
Yeah.
I'm just laughing.
What?
Shirley Jackson's The Lottery.
Right?
I've never even heard of it. I'm laughing at it.
You know it? I bet you'd know it if someone ran it down for you.
We did Shirley Jackson's The Lottery in my sophomore year. Junior year, we did Shirley Jackson's The Mega Million. And then my senior year was her the Trifecta.
You know Shirley, we did the Powerball.
Super Lotto. And then summer that year, we did Shirley Jackson's Powerball.
But
it was great.
I'll tell you, the theater program went down. And 2 years after I graduated, they did Shirley Jackson scratch tickets, and it just was not a good. It was rickety.
Everyone
lost.
That's
where they lost budgets and everything.
I mean, if I hadn't brought some Lagunitas with me,
Shirley Jackson's running numbers now. 13 on the Lagunitas.
One of the one of the most embarrassing things I can say that happened was that drama teacher had us all join or like enter a Shakespearean soliloquy like contest in San Francisco, because it was basically just like another way to do dramatic arts, yeah, or whatever. And so
wait, his sonnets?
Sonnets, yeah.
Was it like one of Shakespeare's sonnets?
Yes. So you'd basically, everyone was just there reciting them.
Okay, I was going to say, what do you have to do? Just recite it?
You recite it. I am a pentameter, man.
Competitively, you recite it and you make it clear what he's talking about. And I did the thing where the very first round, and I had done stuff, you know, it wasn't like it was new to me. The very first round, they called my name and I went up to do my sonnet and just blanked like it was a bad movie, where I was like, not even the first word. I had no idea what that sonnet
Your
was.
Teacher's like, shall I compare
one that operas with the shortest suit? I can't.
It was like the quietest anything's ever been into my ears, where everyone's just like, oh no. It was such a bad, you know, like theater people are
Definitely.
so competitive. They loved it.
I didn't know that, but I've learned that with plenty of people coming on here who have been in theater, saying like how cutthroat they are.
It's rough. And it's everyone's like a, you know, a 35-year-old Philadelphia lawyer. You know what I mean? Everyone's a little too smart for their own good. And I was just like, I might as well have gotten up and went like, I'm not qualified to be here. It was like this hilarious.
I'm from Petaluma.
I'm not good enough. It was just like, and I was so ready. I knew that thing. I'd memorized it, whatever. And it was just like, there was nothing on the screen. I had nothing to say. Now, it was and I just had to sit down after like 4 minutes of silence. Then I just was like, and I just sat down.
So let me ask you this. All right. So when you do something like that, did you tell your parents about it?
I don't think so.
Because I wonder now, because like, you know, we have kids and I always think, I'm like, oh, when are they going to like, when is it going to get to the point where they're doing things that are like this monumental in their life, you know, that like, you're like embarrassment that you can't even comprehend. Do they still tell us about it? Do they still talk about it? Or is that, when do you start like taking this? So you didn't talk about it with them?
No, but my parents were very much, they were like 70s parents, where it was kind of like, I remember when I was like in third grade, my mom's like, you can make your own lunch now. You can do your own.
Sure.
It was all like, you can put together your own Halloween costume. You can.
You're 12. I mean, I found an apartment in the city. I think it's great for you.
You're very independent. That they were really like that. So like, they didn't know anything I was doing, especially in the theater like area. Until when I was a senior, when the first time we had plays, they had this night and it was like Shirley Jackson's The Lottery. There was, I think it was No Exit. The other
Shirley
like,
Jackson's Bingo.
It's a classic.
That's going down.
But I was in the third one act play that we did this one night, and it was just me and this other guy, and it was actually a really funny, good thing. And my family came to it, and afterwards it was like they were looking at me in a whole new way. And I was like, I have been trying to get you motherfuckers to pay attention to me for 17 years. I'm like in the front room, like, guys, I have a dance. I have a song. They're always like, quiet, shut up. And then they come to that play and they were like, that was really good. You're really good at it. And I was like, thank you. It only took you this long. Like it's like they had no idea that I could perform or do anything at all until that night.
Yeah.
I heard Shirley Jackson wants to talk to you.
She's got a new project.
Wants to know what your numbers are.
There's a phone on the side of the stage. Kevin, it's Shirley Jackson.
It's Shirley Jackson. She's got the winning numbers.
She said you're the winner of her lottery.
We were talking to you before we started recording, and we talked about a story you told us where you drove before you were 16. You did a 3-point turn, but Jay had asked you about it, and you said, "Yeah, like was that a regular thing you did, or was that a one time thing, or and whose car were you taking?"
That was on that time. It was my mom's car. It was a 81 Volvo. This is probably the safest vehicle on the road.
Well, they got in trouble, you know. Volvo had a little issue because they had this commercial where a monster truck was going over their car. That was their big thing and how they were a good rollover car.
Yes.
And then what they ended up finding out with a little bit of investigation was that when they cut to the close-up shots of the monster, it was people, it was probably seven PAs behind it rolling the tire over the roof.
No!
Yeah, and then they pull away to the wide shot, and it's like, that just took it, and they got sued for that.
Wow.
Just so you know, you were in a pretty dangerous car.
I'm so glad I didn't know.
Makes it a better story.
It makes it more exciting. But then I did it again when I was 15. I was at my friend Christine Gooden's house, and her older brother, Tony Gooden, was a senior, and I was a freshman.
I can't even believe this right now.
Tony! Get in here, Tony.
Bring Dwight with you.
Forever a freshman.
Bring your cousin Dwight.
The whole Gooden family. My friend Christine, I would always go to her house on the weekends when we were like freshmen, and we would just like sit around, and she had cable, like we'd watch TV, and nothing fun would happen. But Tony was like Mr. Party. And he had this Trans Am that he worked on himself.
Of course. No shirt on with the boombox going.
Fully.
Drinking Keystones.
It was really, it was like
mad because Karen's stealing them.
He's like, I swear to God, I had 12 Keystones here. Where are the rest of them?
Karen.
So he came into Christine's room one day and he's like, we got to go to a party. My license is suspended. You have to drive.
How old is he? He said a senior.
He's a senior.
It's already suspended.
Yes.
Yeah, no, he's two years in, man.
He's
T-Top Tony comes in.
He was a legend.
Trans Am Tony over here. Goes, 2 years in, his license is suspended.
He goes,
why was it suspended, you know?
From speeding in town. And like he'd gotten in so much trouble. So he's like, you guys have to drive me to the city limits. And Christine was like, Tony, we can't.
City limits just, he's giving him.
And then he's going to drive when he gets to the city limits? What does he think this is? Fucking 1780? Yeah. He's a tombstone?
He thinks if you cross a line, all of a sudden your license is all right. Over here, it's all right.
If you weren't over this line, Tony!
Here's what I love. Like, the cops don't know him by his car. As if they knew. It's like, oh, there's that black Trans Am with the fucking gold eagle on the hood. Right. Oh, yes. No. But the little girl's driving it, so that's fine.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
But I was like, I'll do it.
License plate says Tony, but that's a girl driving that.
So nothing's going on. So I completely volunteer. And Christine's like, are you crazy? You don't have your
You're
permit.
You're 15 driving a Trans Am?
And I was like, this is all I live for this. And I drove. It was me and Christine and Tony and I think somebody else was in the
car.
This
is like Smokey and the Bandit plus one.
Yes.
You're Sally Field right now.
Freshman Smokey and the Bandit.
Yes. Uh-huh.
But I was Smokey. You
were.
It was so exciting.
Tony, can we go in 5 minutes?
Well, you were the Bandit.
I was
Smokey's
the Bandit.
The cop.
Smokey's,
you were the
thank
Bandit.
Thank you, God.
It's all right. CB lingo.
And then I got him to the freeway entrance, and then we switched seats, and then he was like,
now he's legal.
And he dropped it.
Finger out the window.
To nobody.
To anybody looking.
They ain't get me.
Those Novato cops.
Peeling up the ramp onto the bugger.
It was legendary.
That is legendary. God damn it.
It was those guys. I would do stuff like that because I was always like, I don't give a shit. Like, I'm not... I just always wanted to do something fun. And so I ended up, I mean, those guys were super cool to us anyway, because they were friends with my sister and all her friends. They were a year older than my sister. And a lot of them we're still friends with because my sister's best friend married Tony's best friend and her brother. It's all,
you know,
like the
yeah,
same
thanks
group.
For stopping, because I was like, where are we going with? How many best friends?
It's a total Game of Thrones Petaluma.
Totally.
But anyway, went later on when we would go to parties.
Wait, when you got to that party, was it worth it? Were you like, fucking Tony was right?
100%.
And when Tony rolls into the parties, everyone like, holy
Tony!
Fuck.
Yes.
Giving him that shit.
Tony,
like, can we see the bird?
He oftentimes rolled. Can we see the bird? He would roll into parties like holding a crystal decanter from someone else's house. He was that guy.
Yeah.
That I saw him right, do that one time. He was just like,
Tony G
took these couple Hummels over there at that last place, man. It looked good right here.
It's two shooters out of them.
The kind with the glass on top of the... yeah, he was
careful that. That's a two-piece ceramic set right there, man.
They go together.
This, be careful of the silver lining. It's married.
Dorothy Thorpe, man.
Dorothy Thorpe. Original.
There are knock-ups out there. There are knock-ups out there. You got to look out for them. I think I might have got one.
But I drank, the first time I ever drank Jägermeister was with those guys. Like when it first came out, we were in like in the middle of a forest somewhere. And
I had a deer on it. So
that's right. They're like, you'll like it here.
First of all, I think Jägermeister has been around a long time.
I was
going to
say, probably like the 1500s.
Well, maybe the first time it came to Petaluma.
Yeah, yeah. Or the first time
it was introduced to your life.
With Tony G.
To me. Yeah. But they were like, get over here. It was like everyone else was hanging out over here. But they knew that I had the devil in me. They knew that they were like, drink this, yeah, I would be like, yes.
I secretly like Jaeger. Not secretly. I like it. I like those herbal drinks. I love how they taste. Like Frenette or Frenet, however you want to say it, mm-hmm, which is a huge San Francisco drink. I love them.
Everything just tastes. Everything just... I have to say, dance is in that black licorice category for me. Like,
yeah,
I'm not a fan of that. Yeah,
I always looked at it as just something you had to get through to get drunk, and I was willing to
do exactly.
It.
At that age, you're just trying to get drunk. You don't give a shit about, like, this is delicious.
It all tastes bad.
Well, yeah.
You're just like,
Karen, settle down over there. You got to get us back to city. Once we get back to city limits, you're taking this thing home, girl.
Yeah, I'll fucking drive that car.
City limits is such like a fucking outsider's movie. Thing.
Listen,
like,
just give me the city limits.
If Tony G had an album, it would be called City Limits.
Totally.
Karen's getting him the city limits.
Just him on the Trans Am smoking a butt. Did he smoke cigarettes?
It would be my honor to get you to the city limits. Mm-hmm.
Was it a stick? Did you drive a stick? Did you know how to drive a stick?
I did know how to drive a stick. My dad made sure that we knew how to drive sticks.
I'm going to find one somewhere, make sure my daughter knows how to drive one, but that's a skill people probably
don't need
that much anymore, though.
But you have to, just in case you get stuck somewhere.
Yeah.
That you have to. You would always be able to get yourself to the city limits.
City limits.
If need be.
God, that's hilarious. Did he smoke cigarettes?
I'm sure he did.
Did you?
No.
Never?
Not in high school. You know.
Not in this car.
T-tops, Tony.
Tony ain't letting you smoke in that fucking train.
I feel like no one in my high school smoked cigarettes, but when we were in college.
Where'd you go?
Sac State.
Sac State, that's right.
Sac State for a year and a half.
There were three girls on my show in Petaluma that all went to Sac State.
That's what we do there.
It was hilarious.
Yeah. It's basically kind of like. It's like going away to college, but everyone from Petaluma goes with you. So it's like the easiest transition college, I think, to go to.
You know, I spent time in Novato, too, by the way. I did like 5 nights in Novato.
Where?
Which is it's a one act I'm working on called 5 Nights in Novato. I wrote on a video game, and they're headquartered in Novato, so they would like fly me up there like once a month, and then like we'd have meetings and then go home. I didn't really dig it. I thought it was like a weird little town.
It's a bedroom community. They built it basically just for people that were commuting into the cities,
essentially.
That
base, which is really cool. The, like, army base. Or, like, where they used
Hamilton?
To, yeah. I think that's where like the thing was. It was like this huge sprawling property with like Spanish mission style buildings everywhere, and like at like different companies in them now, or like
the Presidio.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super cool. But
my sister has been a teacher in Novato for 30 years, basically. She's taught at a school kind of right near there.
Huh. Michelle?
Laura. Novato's, it's like the town next to our town. So there were people that would come to our school that would commute from Novato to our school.
What's up with Mill City? Is that what it's called? Mill Valley?
Mill Valley.
Mill Valley. What's that like?
It's rich people.
Oh, it's rich?
All that. I mean, like, that's how I see kind of all of that. But Mill Valley is, I think, a little more hippie rich. So it's like, it's granola.
But does it still have that same, like, golden sun, like, that West Marin has?
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
All that just reminds me of like a Steinbeck novel or something every time you drive through there.
It's so gorgeous. Yeah. I mean, it truly is like, that's why everything's so expensive there, is because it's like, and then you have Mount Tam right there, so you can like walk up a mountain to like a redwood forest.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Well, right in Lagunitas by my buddy, you drive through redwood, I mean, everywhere, and he camps there with his daughter. They drive 7 minutes down the road and they camp.
Damn.
And it's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane. And then Skywalker Ranch is out there. Where is that?
That's right. That's actually north.
But what town?
There's actually an exit. It's right on the edge. It's right by
Nevada. Okay.
So it's like past San Rafael. It's basically kind of like in between there.
Okay.
And there's an exit that's Skywalker Ranch exit on the freeway.
He's got his own exit?
Yeah.
Dude, you can't
Please
see.
Please tell me it's an X-Wing fighter. It says exit. Should be.
It's a Trans Am, baby.
Tony.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I love all that.
It's pretty good up there.
So what kind of jobs did you have growing up in Petaluma? Like, it doesn't sound like there's much.
No, I worked at the one place in my high school.
Not a ton of restaurants at the time. Like, it wasn't as built up at the time. So there's not an Applebee's and all that shit work at.
There were, I think there was a Denny's. There was almost no chain restaurants like that, except for fast food. I worked at, all the girls at my high school worked at this yogurt shop.
That was their TCBY.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
My sister and brother both worked at one. That's
what was yours
that
called?
Craze hit.
How sweet it is.
That's good. I like that.
To be loved by you.
One of the Knowles sisters, there was three Knowles sisters, and the oldest one got a job there, and then everyone else was like, oh, if they're working there, I want to work there.
Fuck yeah.
And so we all worked at that, at the yogurt shop, and I was the worst. I was like, all I wanted to do was eat the yogurt. And I was always trying to figure out a way to sneak yogurt when the lady that owned it worked there. Just like the worst eating disorder of all time. Where it's just like, just sitting there planning.
The whole time.
Like, I made it in. She's got to take a shit.
This is what I love. Why don't you want to go to your car for some reason? Smoke a cigarette.
My brother and sister worked at a yogurt shop, but they would get run over. Like, the dude who owned it was never there. And upperclassmen would come in, and they would just walk in. They'd be like, what's up, Adam? And my brother would be like, hey, guys. And they would, like, take cakes out of the freezer and just walk out.
Oh, like the pre-made. Yeah.
And then you remember, my mom was on. My mom went and just sat at the yogurt shop one night, like Friday night, that my sister and brother were working. And the place is just packed with high school kids, everyone hanging out there. My mother just sat there at a table, and my brother was, like, coming over, like, Mom, what are you doing here? You gotta get out of here, Mom.
Well, I just thought I
make me look bad at my yogurt cake.
I thought she was there to defend them against people stealing cakes.
That's the thing. She was making sure that my brother and sister weren't like doing anything bad.
Oh, making sure it wasn't them.
That's hilarious.
Making sure that they were like charging. I guess I don't know.
Being good,
suing their regulator.
We used to do that. There was a sandwich shop on the other side of town, and our friends worked there. And we would go in right before closing, and then we'd just fill our purses with wine coolers.
That place called?
It was a Togo's, but they sold liquor there.
Really?
Yeah.
All that stuff up there. Because the wine country, the airport at Santa Rosa has a sushi section that's like grass-fed beef. Everything is like legit. Like, totally. Would you like to see a wine list? You're like at this little airport.
Yes.
Because that whole... even Togo's have wine cool. Really class it up with them wine coolers.
That's the way. The Bartles
and James. Robbins now. It's a little different up there, I guess.
They just pour. They pour wine on top of your ice cream. That wasn't funny. But there is this. My favorite is the grocery store that's there now. It's called Petaluma Market. It's right down the street from Volpe's. It's on that same block that Volpe's faces. And when I was growing up, it was called Food City. And it was just a standard grocery store. And then...
That name is ridiculous.
Food City?
Yeah, Food City.
Fucking Food City, man. I don't give a shit.
It was had a classic, like, 60s sign. It was
you don't want to go to Food Town? I don't know. I like City.
Man, I'm going to head over to Snag Neighborhood, man. I'm just going to grab a little something. I don't need it. I don't need the whole house.
So in like the mid-90s when...
Food
like,
Township? Nah, we're going to go with City, man. We're locked on it,
it's
all right?
Bigger than It's bigger than that. So they changed it to Petaluma Market, and then they got fancy, and they started featuring, which is smart, they started featuring like all the local cheeses, the Humboldt Fog and all that, and there's two cowgirls...
Cowgirl Creamery.
What's Humboldt Fog? Right downtown. Is that a cheese?
That's a really famous cheese from north, further north. But like, there's so many good local food things. They started going, we can be farm to table here in this store, and like people will buy it. So they put in a sushi bar and they put in all the stuff. But of course, still all the locals work there, and most of the locals still shop there. But then there was this kind of this new influx of like, yuppies or whatever. My father making the transition from Food City to Petaluma Market was one of the funniest things. He was just always angry. He was always complaining that everything there cost $8.
Yeah.
He's like, why the hell do you need sushi right in the front door? You can barely get past it. Like, it was that kind of like rage.
I mean, I grabbed a hand roll, but it was
best samurai I've ever had. Seriously. Doesn't need to be right when I walk in.
For $8.
After a while, though, yeah, he was like, oh, it's a good thing that I can get, like, scones that are fresh every day. Like, yeah. Of course, he joined him after a while, but everybody was pissed in the beginning.
I broke my phone in Portland, right? It, like, fell in the elevator and didn't crack, but half the screen went black, so I couldn't see half of the screen. So I have to, like, double click, so like when you're gonna like shut down like things, and then slide it over to like read text, and then slide them, you know. And I'm like, land in Santa Rosa. I'm like, I just gotta get my phone fixed. And I went to some little town, not in Santa Rosa, and there was like a phone fix place. And the guy was like, it's gonna be about an hour and a half, man. I'm like, all right. I'm like, is there a good sandwich shop around? He goes, I like going to the market over there. And I go, all right. So I walk over, and it's a grocery store that has like deli counter, has a tavern, like a tavern. They call it the tavern. And there's like a beer section, people eat, you grab your food, you go over. And I'm sitting at this
very
table.
Very specific with these names.
Yeah. I'm sitting there watching.
Were you in Rohnert Park?
That wasn't the name of the town, no.
Were you below Santa Rosa, like you'd come down the freeway a little bit?
I don't know.
Okay.
I definitely got on a freeway.
Okay.
But I go in, and I'm sitting there. I get a sandwich, and I go sit over. Like, they have a game on. I'm like, I'll watch a little of the game, write a little. And then this guy comes over with a guitar and an amp. And he goes, hey, man, I'm going to be playing a little bit. You think you can move? And I'm like,
move.
I'm like, well, that's his little area. Like, every Saturday, he probably plays there. I was like, yeah, no, totally, man.
I'm warming up for the Vulture, man. He's going to come up and hit the court after me. But if you could, just let me stretch my legs a little bit.
I go, what time are you going on, man? He said, going on. It was 3:30. He goes, I start about 4 o'clock. They always run a little late. I'm like, oh, dude, totally. Just tell me when you need me to move. He's like, all right, cool. And I just sat there, and then someone who worked there comes over. He's like, how are you? And I go, good. They're like, we have some. I go, yeah, I know. I talked to him. I'm good to go. She's like, all right. And then another woman came in with a guitar and mics and an amp, and they double booked. And then this turned into something. Yeah. She comes in, and she's like, hey. And he's like, hey, what are you doing here? And she's like, I'm playing today. He goes, I'm pretty sure I'm playing. He goes, let me check with Carol. And there's this whole booking.
Nah, I'm getting a Vulture on the horn right now. This is some bullshit.
Well, he showed up, dude, with his accordion. He fucking overtook everybody. He just walked through the aisles.
Playing.
The accordion always
playing
wins.
Playing all the way up.
Yep. You're not going to beat that.
Oh, shit. So you said you used to, Jay asked if you ever babysat. You said you were a babysitter, but were you a good babysitter?
No,
like,
would
you say, Ryan, I could watch your kid right now and you'd be good to go?
Now, as a fully grown adult.
No, I mean, you, Karen, at that age, what are you, 17?
Oh, well.
Because I have a 19-year-old babysitter, and she's great.
Yes, that's a good age.
Okay.
At the time I took over for my sister, I think I was 13. And
did she have, like, a retirement party or anything? Took over for.
She got a job.
Gave her a swatch.
Did she have a client list?
Been 3 years on the gig. And
my
she
sister,
get a swap.
She got a real job at Follow Your Heart gift store in the Petaluma
is that
Mill.
Like, is that like
heart.
Things Remembered?
Yes.
Yeah, clearly, right?
It was indie Things Remembered. So they couldn't really engrave.
We can engrave, but we have to send it out.
We can engrave, but it's just Laura with a pen scratching your name into the front of this Christmas ornament.
She's really good.
It was really funny because Laura was, my sister, was the poutiest, like, bitchiest teen. And so she'd be in Follow Your... We used to make fun of her all the time because you'd walk by and it was the tiniest little gift store. And my sister would just be behind the counter, like, with a look on her face with her arms crossed. And we'd go to visit her and be like, hey, Follow Your Heart, Laura. She'd be like, fuck you.
Fuck you.
All mad behind the counter.
Why don't you go wait for the chocolate frozen yogurt to open up, Karen?
I'm running across the street to the yogurt. So I took over for this family when Laura graduated to a real job. And they had a baby that was probably like, I'd say like almost a year old. So it could sit up by itself and stuff.
It should walk. I mean, that's about time.
So maybe, is it
depends
tiny,
on your kid.
Tiny
a lot
bit
of
younger.
Kids go right around one.
This baby was in the 82nd percentile. But
probably jumping rope then.
I would get there in the morning and the family would leave and I would be so tired. It was a summer job. And I would be so tired because I'd have to get there like so they could leave for work. So it'd be like 7 in the morning or 8 in the
morning. And what time
are
you getting in at night?
I mean, it was
depends
like,
if Tony G was around.
Yeah, exactly.
He's dropping her off.
If I... depends on if
lighten them up.
It's a city limits night. Then it could be bad. But
how long does smoke stick around? 25 minutes. God, that's a good one right there, man. My tires were wet on that morning dew.
So... I would show up, say goodbye to the family. Me and the baby would be sitting in the front room, and then I would just fall asleep. I did it.
Hell, you.
And it was like I couldn't. No, I would like try to fight it, but the baby would just be sitting up playing with blocks. It was like a really great baby, really well behaved. And then if it ever made a noise, I'd like startle awake, and then, you know, eventually feed it or take it for a walk or whatever.
Yeah.
But they did. I think they caught on that I wasn't that good at it.
Oh,
like,
yeah?
They didn't keep me around for. I think that I did it maybe four times, and they were like, "Thanks so much. This has been great." Because I wasn't.
She's got Keystone tattooed on her arm.
I never
know.
Knew what was going on. And I think everything, I was always just like, what's the least I can do to get paid through this and get my money?
That's right.
That's what I was doing forever. So I think there were other girls. I'm sure my sister was like, because my sister became a teacher. She was really into
Welcome to
kids.
Bless Your Heart. Laura, will you come back?
Bless your
Karen heart. Is terrible.
Bless your heart.
The family's going as a family to follow your heart.
That's the competition they opened up across the street.
Karen fell asleep on the baby this morning. No, no, real careful.
For real.
They're follow your heart.
I was
bless
the
your
worst.
Heart. Literally on the baby.
The baby started talking just so she could complain
just.
About what a
That's how she learned.
Which is, I think, why we'll keep her around, because the strides the baby's making are amazing. She makes her own lunch. She's been taking care of Karen. Karen's
taking
tough shape.
Care of Karen.
Karen was wearing the bib when we got home today. We don't like it.
She hasn't used a complete sentence in weeks, but the baby is just blossoming.
Running things.
The only problem is we saw the baby driving a black Trans Am, and we don't know.
Drive.
If Karen has anything. It stopped at City Limits.
He's like, just give me to the City Limits.
The baby got out of City Limits.
You know, later on, when I lived in LA, I got a job as a babysitter for my friend Pat Buckles. And this was like because I didn't have I just didn't have any work, and it was this weird time before I was like, I need to be a writer and actually make a living. So I was still kind of trying to audition.
This was in LA?
This was here, yeah.
How long were you moving from New York?
No, from San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I moved from San Francisco. So I babysat her 5-year-old, and then her, I think Jacqueline was 11. And I mean, me and the 5-year-old, he would go like, hey, can I ride in the trunk? And I'd be like, sure, go ahead.
And you're taking him around like country roads and shit?
Yeah. It was in
country
LA.
Roads.
Oh, in LA. What am
it
I
was
thinking?
Here. Yeah, right. It was here. It was like this thing where my friend's like, look, I don't have a babysitter right now. That you can make some money. I know, like, because she was a friend of mine. So I'd be like, I don't know what to do. I need to get a regular job. And she's like, be my babysitter. This will be like a regular job, but you won't be like humiliated. You know, like in stand up where you're like, if you're living in LA and trying to like make it, you can't be seen taking a just a day job.
Sure.
Or at least that's how it felt in the 90s.
Yeah, it never stopped me.
Yeah, me either.
Oh, shit. I can't relate to either of you.
I'm still waiting for somebody to take my picture of Trader Joe's, goddamn.
You will be the employee
every day
of the
I'm
month
out front
soon.
Looking like, goddamn, what I got to do to get one.
So, yeah, I was a terrible babysitter. I also learned while I was babysitting those kids about how I never spoke without being sarcastic ever. And that you can't do that to children because they don't catch on to it. And that was like, I was having all these weird kind of like life realizations babysitting these kids where it's just like, okay, like I told Pat, I was like, oh yeah, Michael realized that if you pull down the middle, that like middle armrest in the back seat, you can actually get into the trunk. And so he did. And I told her that as like a funny story. And she's like, he was in the trunk while you're driving around. I'm like, yeah. She's like, could you don't do that again? And I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay. You're right. I was like, well, if he wanted, in my mind, it was like, if he wants to do it, he should be able to do it.
Listen, in all fairness, he started in the trunk and then popped out into the back seat.
And then went back in. So we're calling him little buckles.
You know what I mean?
I was the worst. I was talking one time about, I was like, oh, I said it to the kids, but I was like, we're going to a party tonight, so I
That's
need to...
how it all started with Tony. I need one of you two to get me to the city limits.
Michael, drive me to the city limits. But I was like, basically just saying what the errands I needed to run after I picked them up from school. And I was like, we're going to a party tonight, so I have to stop over here and get some beer or whatever. And the 5-year, I think he was 5, but he had the really cute little kid accent. Mm-hmm. Or speech impediment. He goes, oh man, I'm gonna act so cool at that party. And then I had to go like, no, you're not going to the party. Like shit
you're
like that.
In the
like,
trunk.
Breaking this little kid's heart. He was so excited that he was going to go to like an adult party with me. It was just, I was a bad babysitter.
You were running your errands on the way to drop them off.
Yes, basically. And saying it out loud.
Right.
And then
you
later.
You got to kill time, you know, when you're with those damn kids.
I know.
Fuck, you'd do errands you wouldn't do if you weren't babysitting.
Guys, let's just go walk around Walgreens.
Seriously.
Just for fun.
I'll get you some candy corn.
I also had him watch Arachnophobia one night. I was like, is this scary to you? And he's like, nope. And then we watched Arachnophobia. And then he, that night, just had spider nightmares.
Violence. He really did.
Screaming spider. And again, my friend Pat's like, so why would you have a 6-year-old watch?
I was in a trunk. There were spiders everywhere. I couldn't get out. The middle console wouldn't open, Karen.
It's just the worst. The worst.
Yeah. He had spider
nightmares. She's like, so 6-year-olds don't watch movies like that. I'm like, thank you. Good to know. And thank you. I won't
it
do it
again. It did say R, and I was just like, not sure what that means.
6, 17, what's the diff?
Yeah.
You know, technically, Pat, if you're outside the city limits, the kids can watch it. That's true.
Tony told me
the rule is, if I make it to the city limits.
The city limits. That just fucking kills me.
How far is Sacramento from Petaluma?
It is 2 hours.
2 hours, all right.
Yeah.
North?
It is east, actually.
East? Huh.
Yeah. You drive through like Napa, the Napa area, and then you just kind of keep going up the 80.
So you came up and stand up in Sacramento or in San Francisco?
I started in Sacramento. I would say I did maybe like 8 sets there. And then I crashed my car for the 3rd time. And my mother, when I called to tell her, she was like, I'm coming to get you. She was like, we're done. You're not living there anymore. Because I had flunked out of school. But I still lived there for
this is during the haunted house phase, yes, right? Yeah,
exactly. After we moved out of that haunted house, I lived there for about another year and was just kind of fucking around. I was kind of going to the JC, but not really, and only taking acting classes and just not really
there
doing
she
much.
Is. That's Keystone. That's Keystone. No, she used to be in school.
That's wow. Tony's driver.
Driver.
I wore a chauffeur's cap. But I met a comic who's now passed away named Arthur Montmorency, I met him at a bar one night with my friend. My friend and he had gone to high school together. And so he and I were talking, and about like 10 minutes into our bar chat, he goes, are you a stand-up comic? And of course, I was like thrilled because I wanted to be one so bad.
Yeah.
And tried to be so funny constantly, which is so exhausting. But he said that, and I'm like, no. And he said, you should be. And then it was like my world exploded because that's all I wanted.
Yeah.
So he had a showcase show at this bar called shit. It was a bar that we used to go dancing at on Thursdays. And
in
then
Sacramento?
In Sacramento. It was a downstairs bar. And then Thursday night was, I think it was called like the city or the something. I can't remember now. But
city
anyway.
City grocery?
Food City.
Food City.
It all happened at Food City. But then on Mondays, he had his comedy show. So then I went and I watched the comedy show for like a month. And it was so terrible. Just people that were clearly mentally ill. Like people, it was kind of had an open mic vibe, but it was more like he was just letting people who wanted to do comedy try it. Mm-hmm. And so I watched.
How many
and
people
watched.
Were there? Do you remember? In the room audience.
The first time I did it, it felt full. I mean, I would say 30 or 50.
That's a lot. First time you ever do anything.
Yeah. It felt packed. And I, it was almost like I painted myself into a corner because I told him I wanted to do it and then started going and hanging out, but not doing it. And so he was like harassing me. And then, I mean, like in the best way of like telling me, you just do it. Just get it over with. And then the other comics I was meeting by hanging out were all like, yeah, just do it. And so then the night I said I would do it, I got there and my sister brought, and I had a bunch of cousins that also went to Sac State too. So there's a bunch of people in town. So my sister, there was like probably 10 people that came to watch me do it for the first time. and my roommate was there, the one of the ones who lived in the haunted house with me, Maleva. And I went into the bathroom to like go over my notes, you know, for the 25th time in the bathroom. And as I was standing there trying to read the notes, just like my vision went tunnel and then I was blind. I couldn't see. And
black?
Like,
are you seeing black? Are you seeing like blurred color? What are you seeing?
Maleva!
I was seeing. No, for real. It was like it was reverse tunnel vision. So it was like all of the vision, it was black, and then I could see around the outside, kind of.
Whoa.
Almost like a cornea. And it was like.
You know what that is?
I mean, I think I was just hysterical. I think I was like so nervous. I'm sure my blood pressure was like through the roof. Yeah. I was freaking out. And then I see the door to the girl's bathroom opens, and I can see way over in my peripheral vision that it's her. And so I was like, oh my God, Maleva, I can't see. I'm going blind. And I'm grabbing for her, and she goes, ew, stop touching me. Stop it. And then just keeps going into the bathroom, just like didn't even acknowledge, like didn't play into it at all. It was just like, stop it.
I'll be honest. If anyone told me they were going blind, I'd be like, no, no, you're not. I probably would have done the same thing she did.
Yeah, that's basically what she did.
Yeah.
She was just like, no. And then left me alone still. So then it all kind of like came into focus. And then I went up and did. I feel like I can still remember some of the ideas that I had. And it was there. It was just nothing. I was right to be nervous because I really didn't have any material at all.
Yeah.
I just like had some act outs. A lot of you know what I did? I recited a monologue from a Shakespeare play in a voice.
Oh, wow.
It was not good. it was dumb. But yeah, but I did it.
Yeah. And then you moved to San Francisco.
Yeah.
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 And how long were you there?
In San Francisco, I was only there for 2 years, and then I moved to LA.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I always wish I started staying up in another city. You know what I mean? Just to have a chance to be like in a smaller city where you were just doing stand up because you wanted to do stand up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it for me, I feel like starting here, it never was just about doing stand up. There was so much other stuff going on. I mean, when I first started, I like, you know, doing that World Cafe show. I was always enjoyed it, and I was on the West Side, and like Wednesday nights, that was my night. You know, I did my show and I just hung out. We got drinks after and I loved it. But it still was always like there was this undercurrent of it having to be something more.
Yes.
Whereas I feel like when you start in another city, there's a group of people that come from that city and you guys have such a passion for it, and like everyone is like supportive, it feels like, and like helping each other like build up. And so, I don't know. I mean,
well,
I might be wrong, but.
Well, San Francisco is really competitive and kind of vicious, but I think in the best way. Like, you wanted to impress, you know, Greg Proops. You wanted to impress Marc Maron. You wanted to impress, those were all the headliners and the people that were around that could potentially be in the audience. So, like, everybody was. And the year I moved there is the same year that Blaine Kapach moved there, that Patton Oswalt moved there, that Brian Posehn moved there. So the group that was kind of like, you know, a little bit ahead of me, like a little bit older than me, was so good.
But at the same time, that's the thing that I love, is that these people, all of you guys, decide to go to this place to do comedy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
People decided, hey, let's. Not like they all said, hey, you're going there, I'll go there. But everyone was like, hey, that's a great place to do comedy. People do comedy there. Or like now
Seattle,
like Atlanta's got a scene.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's
like
dedicated.
These different scenes where people go because they know people doing comedy. And there's no place is more comedy happening than New York or Los Angeles. So for people to find a smaller place that has a scene, I always feel like it has more. You put more care and nurture into it than just like, you know, I didn't really know it. I didn't know it. But anyway, I guess in hindsight, I look back at it. And I'm like, oh, man, that would have been cool to do another city and learn another city. And, you know,
it was really cool. And it's, you know, it's also cool. Like, it made me proud because I could do club comedy.
Yeah.
And then when I moved to LA and then like alternative comedy started, that was much more natural to me because I set up punch isn't like I'm not a concise person and I'm not. Funny in those specific ways, and it was always a real like so much work for me to really put a solid set together and cut the fat and like cut the chit chat.
Yeah.
But I learned to do it, and then I could do it, and then when I moved to LA, then I didn't have. It was like I did a couple sets in clubs, and I was like, this is awful. I mean, it was awful. I hated it, and then people were like, well, come to my, you know, I have this show at the cafe and everyone's doing characters or whatever. Some read out
you're
of
like,
a notebook.
Let me dust off the Shakespeare right here.
Characters. That's where I started.
Characters. You got it.
Characters. Have you ever heard of Shirley Jackson's The Lottery? You're about
three
to.
Three characters in that motherfucker
spin
play
right here.
Oh, my goodness. This has been
fun. What else
fun.
We got on there? Is there anything else on there?
I just wanted to ask you, what got you into, obviously you have a killer podcast and it's a show. It's a huge success. What got you into that? Like, is there a moment you remember like watching something with your parents when you were younger, or what got you into true crime? And
It was one day, and I can't remember where I was, like where, how I got my hands on this book. It could have been in one of my cousin's bedrooms. But I was somewhere, and it was a book about John Wayne Gacy, the killer clown from Chicago. And there was a part in the middle, and it was a hand-drawn map that showed in his house where the bodies were buried. So it was these weird body shapes that were placed into what looked like a house blueprint or a house drawing. And I just flipped this book open and flipped to that page and was like, what's this? Because it looked so weird. It looked like art. And then I read the bottom and it was like, the body of 33 boys were found inside this
33?
House. Yeah. And I read that and then I was looking at the picture and this thing happened where I was just like, I need to know everything about whatever the hell this means and how could that happen? How could someone do that over and over and over and not get caught? And then the whole story of that man that's living this insane double life and getting away with it and being a volunteer at a hospital and, you know, marshaling parades and
shit.
Is that
where he's getting his body, people to kill at the hospital?
No, he got his that's where he dressed up as a clown.
Yeah.
He got he was a contractor, and so he would hire boys to come and like do work for, you know, contract work. And then he would basically be like, come drink at my house. Oh, look, I have this magic trick with a handcuff, and then he would end up handcuffing them and attacking them. And
that's how
them.
He did it?
Yeah.
Oh,
33 times?
Yes.
Holy shit.
Because a lot of the times he would get them at bus stations, or they would be, you know, runaways, or he'd be offering a job to somebody that clearly needed a job.
When did he get, how did he get found out? Did someone get away? Like, someone got away from Dahmer, right? And
yes.
And was able to get away and report him. How did this guy get caught?
There was a boy that he did it to who... Most of the time he would find boys that didn't have family or didn't have anyone around. Like he was selective, but he did it so much near the end. He was getting drunk and using drugs a lot. So he started getting sloppy.
Sure.
And he did it. He hired this boy, offered this boy a job. And the boy, it was like he told his mom, I think this is what it is. They were in like a pharmacy and he was like, oh, I'm going to run out and talk to this man about a summer job. And he never came back. And so the woman knew it was like a contracting job. So they kind of were like putting it together. And the police already had their eye on him because there had been these stories of like a person that worked for this guy, this contractor, and the guy disappeared. And he'd be like, oh, that guy was a runaway and I dropped him off at the bus station. There's always like stories that like, they were always giving him the benefit of the doubt, not the runaway, of course. But this kid was like, had a full family that was like, what the fuck? He disappeared out of a parking lot. And then they found, there was like in his pocket, in his jacket pocket, there was some like ticket, some slip. And then they found the coat and were able to prove it was his. And so that basically all
they saved that boy or no?
No, no.
Yeah.
No.
Wow, it's crazy.
So no one got away from that guy.
There's a couple people got away from him because he did it so he picked up so many people.
But they just didn't believe them because they were drifters or whatever.
Yeah. Or it would be they would be embarrassed because they were trying to party, just trying to get drunk, and then this guy would make a pass at them. And so then they didn't tell anybody. Like yeah. Or it would be a thing, he did a thing of like, oh, let's do wrestling moves. And then he would like basically pin people and try to handcuff them really fast. And then so there was one kid that basically got out of the handcuffs and then like beat him up and left. But he never went to the cops because he was so embarrassed that he was in this situation.
Yeah.
And he knew how it would look and make him look. So there was that, you know, it was like the 70s, the late 70s or whatever. So it was real. Like he had everything. I mean, it was totally to his advantage.
Yeah. Crazy.
It's the craziest story. And I think I was 12, but I was like, suddenly it was like, I knew there was all this shit no one was telling me about. And I wanted to know about all of it.
Yeah.
Because that was like, oh, things like this can happen in the world. Like, I had no idea.
That's how I felt about my cousin's Danielle Steele books.
Why is no one telling me about this romance?
Whoa. Oh, wow. Well, we're there. This has been a lot of fucking fun. Thank you so much for coming back on.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Karen.
I will miss you guys. I will miss your podcast.
Well, we'll be around, and we will miss you, and we must see you again. So,
all right.
But before you go, I have a suspended license. Just if you could drive me to the edge of Marvelous.
Just right down
just
to Torrance?
Just to the edge,
I can get you to Torrance.
Torrance would be great.
Thank you so much for coming on.
My pleasure.
Always our pleasure. Will you please one more time plug whatever you'd like, your social media, anything you like there?
I'm on Twitter at Karen Kilgariff, .gov. And I think that's it for the plugs, really.
And the podcasts, I mean, people.
Do you Need a Ride and My Favorite Murder. And we're starting our own podcast network next month. So it's called Exactly Right. Look for that if you like podcasts.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here. It was great to have you.
My pleasure.
As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncomedy on all social media.
RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. We will talk to you all next Tuesday.